He paused and looked down, and his eyes softened briefly, as if at some memory, as he stroked one sleeve of his remarkably plain cassock. Then he looked back up at Gerling, and the softness had vanished. "But then we learned in Telesburg what had happened to the Archbishop," he said flatly. "More than that, I received a letter from him, one he managed to have smuggled out before his execution." Gerling's eyes widened, and Ottemsen nodded. "It was written on a blank page he'd taken from a copy of the Holy Writ, Your Eminence," he said softly. "I found that remarkably symbolic, under the circumstances, and in it he told me his arrest, his trial, and his conviction had brought him face to face with the truth, and that he hadn't liked what he'd seen. It was a brief letter. He had only the single sheet of paper, and I think he was writing in haste, lest one of his guards surprise him at the task. But he told me, ordered me, as my ecclesiastic superior, not to return to Zion. He told me what his own sentence had been, and what mine would undoubtedly be if I fell into Clinton's hands. And he told me Clinton's inquisitors had promised him an easy death if he would condemn Stainer and the rest of the Church of Caris hierarchy for apostasy and heresy. If he would confirm the Group of Four's version of the reason they'd chosen to lay waste to an innocent kingdom. But he refused to do that. I'm sure you've heard what he actually said, and I'm sure you've wondered if what you heard was the truth, or some lie created by Carisian propagandists." He smiled without any humor at all. "It would certainly have occurred to me to wonder about that after all, but I assure you, it was no lie. From the very scaffold on which he was to die, he rejected the lies the Group of Four had demanded of him. He rejected the easy death they'd promised him, because that truth he'd finally faced was more important to him, there at the very end of his life, than anything else." It was very quiet in Gerling's study. The slow, measured ticking of the clock on one of the Archbishop's bookcases was almost thunderous in the stillness. Ottemsen let that silence linger for several moments, then shrugged. "Your Eminence, I knew the reality of the highest levels of Mother Church's hierarchy, just as I'm sure you've known them. I knew why Clinton had the Archbishop sentenced, why, for the first time ever, the penalty of Schuler was applied to a senior member of the episcopate. And I knew that, whatever his faults, and Langhorn knows they were almost as legion as my own, Eric Dinis did not deserve to die that sort of death simply as a way for a hopelessly corrupt vicarate to prop up its own authority. I looked around me in Caris, and I saw men and women who believed in God, not in the corrupt power and ambition of men like Jaspar Clinton. And when I saw that, I saw something I wanted to be. I saw something that convinced me that, even at that later date, I might have a true vocation. Langhorn knows it took God a while to find a hammer big enough to pound that possibility through a skull as thick as mine, but he'd managed it in the end. And in my own possibly long-winded way, that's the answer to your question. It's not the answer to all of my questions, not yet, I'm afraid, but it's something just as important. It's the start of all my questions. And I've discovered that, unlike the days when I was Mother Church's consecrated vice-regent for Caris, with all the pomp and power of that office, I'm eager to find answers to those questions." Ottemsen drew a deep breath, then he shrugged. "I'm no longer a bishop-executor, Your Eminence. The Church of Caris doesn't have those, but even if it did, I wouldn't be one again. Assuming anyone would trust me to be one after the outstanding job I did last time around." It was no smile this time. It was a broad, flashing grin, well-suited to any youngster explaining that fairies had just emptied the cookie jar. Then it faded again, but now the eyes were no longer hard, the voice no longer burdened with memories of anger and guilt. He looked at Gerling from a face of hard-won serenity, and his voice was equally serene. "I'm something far more important than a bishop-executor now, Your Eminence. I'm a priest. Perhaps for the first time in my entire life, really, I'm a priest." He shook his head. "Frankly, that would be far too hard an act for any high episcopal office to follow." Gerling gazed back at him for a long, thoughtful moment, then looked at MacInroe. None of that had been the answer he'd expected out of Gerald Adamson, yet somehow it never occurred to him for a moment to doubt the other man's sincerity. "Which is the biggest surprise of all, really?" he thought. "And where does that leave you, Claremont?"